Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Udalee Wickham Ashby. And today, my special guest is Alicia King, a mother of a son with autism. And she will be sharing her story with us today as we explore what parenting is like for her. Welcome to the program, Alicia.
Thank you.
So just tell us a little about yourself, Alicia.
Well, I have three children. My only son actually is on the spectrum. He's 14 years old, and let's just say he improves daily. He shows a little bit of independence also. Every couple of months, you see a difference.
Okay. And when did you first learn that your son showed signs or was diagnosed with autism, being on the autism spectrum?
He used to go to a preschool in St. George. And one of the aunties there told me, they collected him, that he either had autism or ADHD. Well, me and his father, we didn't really like, I especially didn't really like to hear that he would have had something, but we decided to take him to our pediatrician. And she said, if my other two children talk early, and they said, not really the first one, but the second one, she talked way before the first one. And she said, well, probably then it's just a delay in it that give him some time. But if we wanted to check it out for sure, then we should take him to a specialist doctor. So then we went over to the specialist doctor, and she gave us the diagnosis that he's on the spectrum. And then from there, we started therapy. We went to Children Development Center, as it was called then, which is A.C. Graham today. We went to Dr. Campbell there, and then over at the Children Development, where we were trying to get into the therapies. But then the waiting line was at that time, like, long. We had months for speech therapists and months to even see the psychologist, because we went to the psychologist. We were referred to the psychologist at the hospital, which we took him. And then we went private for the rest of our therapies because of the long wait at the then CDC.
Okay, Alicia, let's walk back to when you and your partner received the news that your son has autism. What were your emotions like for that first period, maybe the first year of learning this and having to work with your son?
Denial, looking to cure it, trying to find any way that it wouldn't be true. That was for me personally. My father had the opposite. He's going to see whatever he can do to make him get as good as he can get. He's going to do whatever he has to do.
Okay. So how did you then manage your denial? How did you?
I never really did.
Okay.
I never accepted the diagnosis a long time afterwards. I just was dealing with it. In the sense that I was trying all kind of stuff to, in my mind, heal it, because we went natural. I just wanted to heal it, at least heal the gut, everything, to see if it can help him to communicate.
Okay. So tell us a bit more about your son and how the autism has impacted him.
He wouldn't talk, because he can't talk. Before he was diagnosed, he was talking. So he can talk, but he doesn't talk unless it is for him. If he wants something, then he would talk. It affected him, but he's not sociable at all. He's clumsy. His life skills are now improving. Before, they were not. Nothing that he wanted to do, he wouldn't have done. If he didn't want something, it's not even a part of his, but, and he wouldn't ask. He doesn't ask for anything. If he wants something, he's going to claim for it. So his social skills were nil. His communication was selected, and he, if anything to do with himself, as long as it was not a priority for him, he doesn't bother if it is done or not. As he got older, yeah, we get more therapy into helping him to do some of the things he needs. So now as he's getting older, some things he will do on a routine, because that's what he accustomed doing, or he accustomed hearing somebody telling him this is what he has to do. So now he's doing it as a routine.
Okay,
but he's not fully on a routine.
Okay, so before he became a teenager, you were saying that he was not communicative. And, you know, he didn't really follow a routine.
It doesn't follow a routine, all it know.
Okay. How would you say that impacted you yourself as his mother, wanting this young boy to, you know, behave in what we consider normal behavior?
It took a lot of adjusting. Nowadays, I accept the fact that this is what I'm dealing with and how we can get better. But before, the adjustment for me came in the sense that I have to do everything. I literally do everything. I get him to help me now, but before it was, let me put it this way, I've been saying the same thing for about 10 years, and I'm still saying it today. That's how much it has affected the fact that I'm saying, I could actually tell you the things they say and have been saying for a long time. And I'll be saying again, these are the things you do, you make up songs. I've put things into routine. I put up pictures to show him, and that somehow agitate. He doesn't like pictures at all. He like, I don't know why. He prefer me to talk it over and talk it. And the reason being is I communicated with him more than I use pictures. I used to talk to him a lot, like for routines. On the spectrum, everybody say a routine works good for a child, and it does. But the negative of it is when you break that routine, for some children, they become very aggressive. Now, for me with him, we have a routine, and I can break it. All I have to do is to say it. And like, if it's going to be the next 10 minutes, I have to break the routine. All I got to do is say, I'm not doing it anymore. Yes, I'm going to get a little, I'm going to just say it again. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm going to reiterate it, and then he calms down.
Okay. Now, you said that it was a bit strenuous for you. Let's now look at how you managed the various therapies that your son had to attend.
Well, normally his father would take him up and take him to the therapies. Sometimes I would collect. It was both of us doing therapies. I never did it on my own. His father played a very important part in that. I would normally get the therapist recommended, or somebody would tell his father about it, or maybe go to one therapist, they would recommend another therapist, and his father would be there to either pick him up, collect him, sit with him through it for the hour or the half an hour. Or I would drop off his father pick up. I always had his father balancing back with me for therapies. So it was not that hard because his father was there.
Now, Alicia, I know one of the challenges that most parents have with children, particularly those with ADHD, autism, and some of the disabilities that bring along behavioral issues with it. How would you say the public responded to you when you and your son were out in public, or even him and his father?
For me, they will look at, they still do looking at me like, if we what wrong with he? I remember the first time a lady saw me and said, in Abed, she said that one, he don't have no behavior. And because normally when I hear people say stuff like that, I just normally correct them because you don't know nothing about the child. And if it was some sort of a different person, you would have keep your mouth shut, right? So I figured then that if you don't know what's wrong with the child, you should ask a question, because he was timid in Abe's, and she seemed to think he was behaving badly. So when I corrected her and I tell him, do you know him? You know anything about him? Then what would you say he's behaving bad? He ain't pulled on no material in here. He ain't threw down nothing. He ain't hit nobody. All he doing is keeping noise. Why would you say he's behaving badly? Because I'm telling him to be quiet and he's still saying it. Do you know him? And then eventually when I told her he has autism. I worked with them before. I said, and that was your first statement, is that he's behaving bad? If you worked with them before, you of all people should be compassionate to understand he may have something going on. That's why his mother did not punish him or chastise him. She just told him to be quiet, because she knows that he has to go through the process of calming himself down. So then she understood, and yeah, she was a little bit educated when I did, because I said more than that.
Okay. And what was the experience like trying to enter him into nursery or primary school?
Well, he was in preschool before, so primary school was, for me, it was more traumatizing for me, because when I saw how the children were, I more cried than he, because he went along, and then he found some teachers that I think he attached himself to and he liked up to this day. And he was good, but I cried. I cried my first time in the school like a child.
Why?
The way how those children were behaving and they're running about, that was, oh my gosh, this is what my son has to go through. Because the first time, I didn't understand sensory, because I didn't know that sensory existed in autism. And his very first time that a fellow from in the neighborhood had one of those four-wheel motorbikes, and he came through, and my son bawled his eyes out. And I felt so helpless because I could not do nothing. And I went to the police station. I'll never forget that evening on my way to work to complain to the police. And the police took it like if there nothing them could do. It ain't licensed to be on the road. Nothing so, you know. But yet he was wrecking havoc and my son was bawling. And I had no idea that in autism, there's something called sensory, that sometimes their ears are multiplying the sounds that they're hearing. I didn't know that. I got a diagnosis. He has autism. Blam! I'm getting a diagnosis that he may have sensitive hearing and yeah, we'll have to look out for this. Nothing so. They went to the police on two or three occasions and they made the police was just as insensitive as the people that are ignorant to it. Because a lot of patients don't know nothing about autism. They don't know that autistic child doesn't have a cross eye, or as they put it, they can't see it. So therefore, they can't put a label on it.
I think this is one of the challenges that most people who have invisible disabilities experience, because it's not showing up like the individual in a wheelchair or the individual who may be using a cane, a walking frame. Then it is difficult sometimes for some individuals to understand the various characteristics of a particular disability. So there needs to be a bit more education around not just autism, but a whole lot of other impairments and disabilities.
We need to be sensitized to everything. And I keep telling people, keeping autistic children in the house, you're no worse than the person that have it in the psychiatric hospital. If you don't bring them out and let the patients see them, and let people on the whole see them, and know that they are a part of this community that we live in, then you could as well carry them down to the psychiatric hospital and say, well, you give her all something. Because they have to live in this world. And if you're a parent that want the best for your child, don't make a diagnosis, you know. Because at the end of the day, all of us have a diagnosis. All of us have an ailment. Who's blessed not to have it? Kudos to those. But all of us have something. Theirs affect their brain, and along with the certain socializing skills that they say that we need. But at the end of the day, we have to realize there's a child lives in that body, you know. There's a child who wants to do everything like, as you want to say, a neurotypical child. There's a child who wants to ramble. There's a child who wants to go to the drive-in, to the Olympus. They want to walk to Sheraton. But put yourself in his shoe now. Would you want to walk through these places if people are going to be looking at you like if you got a big, some sort of club in your forehead? That is how my one started out. Because when he was 4 or 5 years old, I pushed him in town in a stroller because he didn't want to walk. When he was 6, I think it was to push the stroller because I could have gone around faster and I could manage with the noise and stuff like that. But as the years progress and I get to understand and know more, I did more research and I found out like, all right, I am getting to accept this diagnosis now and I'm going to try to make him as comfortable as it is and not look at his diagnosis because I was treating autism. I started out treating autism and not just learning the child, understanding the child and working with this child as a child and saying, well, this is the discipline I'm going to put down for this child. You understand me? I'm not going to say, oh, God, he has autism, so I'm not. He has autism and he is still a child. He is still a person and he has to conform to this world that we live in because that's what they say is the norm. So we got to still treat the child in there and let them live. And My son goes to everything you could think of. I don't restrict my son. That's something I never planned to do. And I had my other two daughters, they went to tours. And if there's a tour, my son is going to be on board. As long as somebody reminds his mother, he's on board. That's one thing I could tell anybody. He is on board for all that is out there. I don't restrict him. I don't care who looks at him. When you don't look at him and you have the courage to come and say something and ask what is wrong, I'll educate you on something called autism. And I love to tell people, welcome, here comes autism. So you will expect some stimming, some little talking that has nothing to do with you, and a sudden sort of a movement and some clumsiness. He may not mean to bounce you, but he will bounce you. So when I see him get too close to some person, I shout very quickly, sorry. Some people are understanding, some people get to know him, and they know, well, yeah, he has that little thing. And then when you look past that, then you will see that there is a sweet boy underneath of all of that, with his own personality and attitudes. Everything in there is just chopped up in that thing called autism. So I am one that advocates for people to don't treat autism. Enjoy your child. If you want your child to be a writer and he's 4 years old, start him to write. If you want your child to be a runner and he's 4 years old, learn him to run. If you want your child to be what we call Harrison's College material, start learning it. He will get into it. It's a routine, right? That's how we learn to. Remember when I did math? My math tutor told me that. She said, how you feel you know your way home? You practice it every day. How you feel you get good at math? You do the same thing. So for autism, if you want your child good at something, you practice it. Nobody told me this. Not my son probably would have been in Harrison's College today. I learned late. And I tell everybody that I meet with a child and they're under the age of 6. Because up to 8 is the years where children really learn and remember. Start your child early. Don't mind nobody saying, oh, you're afraid of this, you're afraid of that. You're going to be more fearful when you get to my son's age and realize that you've lost that opportunity where you could have planted a seed and watered it. Versus now me trying to push it into a child whose routine was centered around a rectangle. So for all parents out there who can hear me, and you have a child on that spectrum, don't keep it in the house. Bring it out and let it enjoy life. It didn't ask for it. And make sure you teach it what you want. Learn it, everything you can learn and more. It's going to take you longer. As I said, I'm 10 years into this year and I'm still repeating the same thing I've been doing. But sometimes when you stop talking, they will do it. Not as good as you like, but they'll do it. Because sometimes I just shut my mouth and watch him and see what he does. And he does a pretty good job. But my fear is if I don't say it, they won't do it. So sometimes we got to stop and let them do. But they grow to sweet children. We just have to keep them on as we deep his fear, try to make them as independent as possible.
As you talk about, you know, one of your fears of maybe your son not being as independent as you would like, what are some of your thoughts around him living either on his own or living with support? You know, what are your thoughts around those two areas? Do you think he can live alone? Or would
I don't
he
think
need
he can live alone. I know he can't live alone because he needs, right now his food, he only eat, he's a picky eater. He only eat technically two foods. My fear is if I close my eyes, this is my biggest, greatest fear. His father has it too. If our eyes are closed, what's going to happen to him? But his father put stuff in place, and I pray to God that he put my oldest daughter in charge of it. I pray that God would touch her heart and she would look after it the best she could. That is one of my deepest fears. I try to make him as independent as he can, but his food takes the stove. And right now in Barbados, we don't have these services that is in Canada and America and in England, whereby people come in and look after them. That would be awesome if he can live in his own little house here and two more in an apartment building and people come in and they look after them. And I mean in the sense of looking after them is make sure, well, he's not on medication. And they make sure that they're fed and that their clothes is washed and the environment is clean. That's it. That would be good because I know it is in Canada for sure because my cousin does it.
Yes, we do need this type of supportive living.
Yeah.
Homes.
Yes, it is.
Yes, we do need these type of homes where support is there for the young adult to, live
Yeah, they
outside
can
with
live.
their parents or their family, or
Yeah.
even with their own family. Because sometimes we think that because a child has a disability, they will not grow into an adult that will also have a desire for their own family, a wife, a husband, children. And these are conversations that I think we need to have more openly, that the public, some of the fears and inhibitions that the public has around disability can be broken down.
Yeah, I was looking at surgical building that they made the other day up in Border Hall for the elderly. I can't remember what the name of the building. And I'm saying that is such a good idea. If we can get something like that for not just autistic children, but for children that all fall into, because it is a secure area. It has everything you need, except for probably a gas station. I don't think that's done in there yet. But it has everything you need. Something built in that sort of an idea in a good area where people can still come in and assist them, but they can live in it. That would be awesome. Find a good area, not an area that is too busy, too loud, but they can all cohabit somewhere. I mean, that is a futuristic thought, but that's something that is worth looking into because for me, my son, he's going to be an adult soon. And, he's bigger than me, for sure. And I really don't know. I drove fear in him. I remember the Bible said to fear God. I know how much people study that. If you're fearing God, the Father, I think you should fear mommy, the mother. So I have little fear in him. He has some sort of fear of me, but I know if he was to give me a good push, he'll fall. But he doesn't know when I will come, or he doesn't know when I will react. And that is the fear that I have put there. To help me to be able to, I don't want to say control, but to let him know that I am his mother and he has to have some sort of slight fear in me. He has to fear my presence and he has to fear what I can do. Because I can assure you, if he has to hold your hands and you feel the full strength of just his hands, it can be crippling. Just his hands. He put his pressure, his body weight, nothing on you, just his hands holding your hands. It is almost like if he's numbing in your hand from the strength of his hands alone. So my son has to know when he sees me, he don't have to agree, but he gotta do it. Because as I tell him, and I tell him every time I see him get angry, I'm not going to leave you with nobody that's going to hurt you. And if somebody hurts you, you come and tell me. Tell me in whatever manner you show me it, tell me it, and I will do my research. You ain't going back there, but I'm gonna do my research. Because I have to trust him and trust when I let him go with anybody that they're gonna treat him just as good as me or better. So these are some of the things that when you settle your head, you don't wanna let them out your sight. Because you don't want a boy to hurt them with the amount of things that happen in the world. You don't want a boy to hurt them. You don't want a body to mistreat them or, because sometimes I just fear somebody would cuff him when he's being clumsy in a crowded area. And then I'd be thinking, what can I do? Because ain't a time now for me to explain. You cuff him because he's clumsy. You understand me? He doesn't understand how your body space is to shift himself at this time. So he's late in shifting. This is my fears up to today. That was my fear when I saw him in the supermarket. Is a supermarket here custom going in? So I know people know that something is not, he's not
Right.
all, yeah.
Okay. So as we get ready to wrap up the program, Alicia, how would you say the interaction and the support is between him and his sisters?
I don't know for now. I can't say for now how it is. One time it was very good, and I think it is still good, but they're adults now, so they're living their life. They're finding their way in the world and stuff like that. For me, I know that if they see him and then they have to look after him, they will do their best. All told them, I know they will do their best.
Okay. And the community support is there to encourage him to also, move around within the community, as you were pointing
No,
out earlier.
no. I don't let them out my eyesight. So maybe I am the reason why the community is not there. because I am not in an area that I can, is as good as it is, there are dogs that run around and stuff like that. And he may react to the dog, and then the dog might try to bite him, and I can't take that risk. So he doesn't really interact with the community. There are one or two people that realize his condition and stuff like that, that he would shout him and stuff like that. His stepfather takes him out. He has a wide, he goes out and he meets people, and he's very sociable to an extent. He can talk to you though, but if you interact with him, he will give you a knock or hold your hand or something like that. So he still gets that community feeling because he goes out. He's not restricted or nothing in the house per se. He walks around the house. Oh, he's outside on his own and everything. He actually went outside earlier today on his own. So he goes out on his own. Not far though, because my fear is that he would keep looking at something, and then when he catch himself, he may lose himself along the way.
Okay. Well, Alicia, what advice would you offer to young parents who just got the diagnosis that their child has a disability, whether it is autism, ADHD, Down syndrome, or some other type of impairment?
Well, for those parents, I'm going to speak from autism for a fact, because for Down syndrome, it takes a little bit more. But for anybody, don't care what your diagnosis is, just love your child and treat your child as a child. You may be like me, that you have got some different special things you have to do. Just do it. I mean, it's be exhausting, but do it. If you put in the work in the first 8 to 10 years of that child's life, and when I say put in the work, I mean as make sure if you want this child to cook, you start them doing small stuff in the kitchen. If you want this child to wash clothes, you start them off with a little kerchief and let them help you. Don't say they're too small and they will learn next year, because they already have a challenge to deal with and to understand. So do not let that challenge be your main focus for those formative years, and make sure that you put everything, let them help you do everything under the sun, from washing to shopping to writing to cleaning to folding clothes. Let them try it. Even if them do like me, this is what I do. My son folds clothes and he takes it to his bedroom. And when he done, I goes behind and fold it properly. Because it don't be folded up, it's be balled up. But he's still folding it, but they correcting it. You gotta do that. And if I had started this at 6 years old, he'd be a pro today. But I didn't. My advice, start everything early. Everything you want the child to do, start your writing, put them to sit down, like if they're in a school setting, if you want them to go into the school setting, try to work on their behavior. Try to work on the way how they, I don't want to say manners, but that too, and the way how they talk. Bring up the child in the way you want that child to be. And then when you get 10 years, you already got half of your work done. So my advice, start early. Don't say they can't. They can do everything as long as God gives them breath. And do it better than me and you.
All right. Thank you very much, Alicia, for sharing some of your experiences in raising your son with autism. And I do look forward to the day when we in Barbados will have that supported, assistive living for our people with disabilities, both youth and the older persons. So thank you again for sharing with us. And I want to encourage you to keep teaching your son what he needs to survive in this world.
Thank you. I will do that. And also for those with autism, make sure you join the Barbados Autism Association as the parent. You need some sort of, I don't know, the sick togetherness. You need some sort of comfort, and you will
Support.
get it in the support. You will get it in the Autism Association for all those on the spectrum. Please join. We need to know our numbers. You get more power with numbers. So come on out, join. Ain't nothing to be afraid of. There are many more of us out here. Come on and join the Barbados Autism Association and let us fight for our kids to get some sort of help from any person, corporate, Barbados, or the government. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alicia. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and my special guest, Alicia King. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or via Starcom Network on 1-246-430-7300. You can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB 92.9 website. And until next week, be productive, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao.